Good morning, everybody, and welcome to another episode, but also kind of the first episode of the Writer's Block podcast. I am your host, David Howman, joined as always by my two incredible co-hosts, Chris Halling and Brandon Clements. And for those of you who have been loyal listeners for the last year or so, that it's been the three of us here on the Writer's Block podcast, or even longer than that, you know what this podcast is, the Writer's Block, formerly with Blogging the Boys. We are now our own separate entity, not affiliated with Blogging the Boys, not affiliated with anything else. It's just three dudes talking Cowboys. What could be better than that? For those who are not in the know, SB Nation, the company that Blogging the Boys partners with and is sponsored by, there was a decision made to cut all of the podcasts across all of the different platforms that they have. We're not really going to get into a whole lot of that part of it. But we, of course, had our Writer's Block podcast. We had a lot of fun chopping it up with each other, talking Cowboys every week, going back and forth on the things we disagree on, and just enjoying our love for America's team. So we decided they can't keep the Writer's Block podcast down. So here we are. We had a week off where we weren't able to do anything, and it just didn't feel right. There was a big podcast-shaped hole in all of our hearts. And so we're here to keep the content coming to you, and with a few changes as well. So we'll be doing our regular content, you know, coming out Tuesday mornings with our podcast, with our Writer's Block podcast episodes. We're going to be, posting it through rss.com. You can find it there. We'll also be on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Amazon Music, if you listen to your podcast there, which personally I did not know was a thing, but hey, we're going to be there. So, you can get your podcasts wherever you get your podcasts. You can find the Writer's Block podcast. We're also going to be adding a YouTube channel as well, which we have up, so you can actually see our faces. And I won't say beautiful faces because that's up for you to judge whether or not they're beautiful faces. But that means now, not only do you get to just listen to us, but you get to see our reactions to some of the takes that we each throw out there, as well as just getting that little extra touch of personality. And we'll be doing some other things with the YouTube channel as we move forward as well. There may or may not be a NFL draft first round live stream coming up next week. Who knows? Make sure you check it out and stay up to date to see what kind of stuff is coming out there. But with all that being said, Chris, with our podcast kind of being, its first episode back and starting up a new thing, just for those who aren't familiar with you, who is Chris Halling and why are they listening to your voice now?
Yeah. So, hi, my name's Chris, and I've been a Cowboys fan as long as I can remember. My dad grew me up that way. I quickly found my way into the Cowboys media world when I made an Instagram account back in high school. I want to say 2016. I did it the year that Dak and Zeke joined the team. You know, I know people call me a bandwagon on the page, but I was a fan way before then. And so I grew really big on there. It's at Dallas Cowboys Squad. We're at about 95,000 followers now. Hopefully by the time the season ends next year, we'll be past 100K, which would be a pretty sick milestone that I never envisioned. And through that, I got to meet RJ Ochoa, and I got to do some writing with SB Nation's Blogging the Boys. And and I've been able to meet you guys through it. So it's been an awesome experience, and I'm glad that, continue this and, keep bringing out some Cowboys content.
And Brandon Clements, our other co-host, found on Twitter/X at Icebreaker21. So I know you've told the story before, but lead with the story of why you're the icebreaker and then, whatever else you want to tell us. But icebreaker is, that's the real draw here.
Yeah, no, that is the real draw. It's, my wife will be listening to this and viewing this later, so she could probably comment and maybe throw some shade in my direction. But the icebreaker moniker came from when I was in college working at a college radio station, and not to bash anybody, but we're a bunch of nerds. We love media. We love creating content. So out of the entire group of friends that I had at the local college radio station that I worked at, shout out to Super Mix, SUNY OCC, Onondaga Community College. That's where I got my first start. And of all my friends, I was the most, suave with the ladies. So you know, one of my friends, I can't give credit to one because there was a few that came up with the icebreaker moniker, and it's stuck ever since. My wife might, you know, she might have another take on that. So maybe you'll have to see what she says in the comments. But yeah, that's where that came from. I mean, again, I am married, as you mentioned, as I mentioned, I have a wife. I've been married since 2016. So I've been married as long as I think Chris was out of high school at that point, I think. So I've been married almost 8 years this year. I have two beautiful daughters, and they keep me going. I'm very busy. I almost have an almost 5-year-old and an almost 2-year-old. So my life is much different than what it was, you know, a few years ago. And my journey with the Cowboys starts when I was just a young dude. Like I'm the oldest guy in the group. I'm the other station of these three. And it started for me back in the glory days in the 90s. And my dad raised me as a Cowboys fan, and America's team has been part of my soul since as long as I can remember. I still remember going to a local establishment and watching Larry Brown pick off Neil O'Donnell in Super Bowl 30. So that was one memory I can tell you that I remember very well while I was eating some chicken
Chris,
wings.
For the record, those are Cowboys players before.
I know. Yeah, well, listen, yeah. Just because I wasn't in the womb yet doesn't mean that I don't know about it. Okay.
It's okay, because you know what? There's we have some great friends that blog in the boys that, you know, some elder statesmen that remember watching Roger Staubach play. So you know, if you want to make me feel young, I mean, you talk to some of our good friends there. And I just want to give a quick shout out to all the great people that we got to work with at SB Nation blogging the boys. A great crew over there. Became a family. I got to meet you two from there, so I'm blessed for that and blessed for the opportunity. I've been doing it for a couple of years, writing and most recently just doing podcasting. So I just want to give a shout out to SB Nation's blog and the boys for the great opportunity, and I'm just thankful to be here and thankful to be working with you guys once again.
That's well said from the icebreaker himself, breaking the ice on this episode of the Writer's Block podcast. Thank you to Brandon Clements for putting it so nicely there. And with that, we're going to really dive into some of the Cowboys content that we've promised with this episode. And of course, on Monday came the beginning of voluntary camp for the Dallas Cowboys, as well as the news that CeeDee Lamb and Micah Parsons, both of whom have contract questions floating out there in the ether that they need extensions done. Everybody except for Jerry and Stephen Jones know that these extensions need to be done. And maybe perhaps at some point this will actually happen. But both of them have decided that they are not going to participate in voluntary camp. I believe Micah Parsons also did not participate in this portion last year. There's still the significance of the contract status that's pending. Same with CeeDee Lamb. This is a common tactic that players use all the time, but of course we do stress right now. This is voluntary, so players can't even be fined for not being here. Sometimes it's pretty frequent for players not to do this because they have their own private workout people and teams that they go and do things with, or maybe, you know, they just don't feel like it. There's all kinds of reasons, but Brandon, I'll throw it to you first. How concerning is this that we've now reached the point, you know, a week before the draft, where now we're talking about Micah Parsons isn't showing up to things, CeeDee Lamb isn't showing up to things, when we know that there's this context of these contract negotiations looming over them?
I mean, let's start there. And I got to give a shout out to our great friend, Jess Navarez, where she put out a screenshot of voluntary and the definition. So if you guys want to check that out, go to Jess Navarez. I think it's at Jess Navarez _, if I'm not mistaken. Jess, if I got that wrong, apologies. But I just want to give her a shout out to that one, because I saw that screenshot and I'm like, that's it in a nutshell. It's optional. If this was mandatory, I would be a lot more concerned. Yes, of course, the contract situation is what it is for both players, and hopefully the Cowboys can figure it out, because last time I checked, the Philadelphia Eagles, as of recording, they locked up Devontae Smith, their star receiver, for another 3 years. And that just means the proverbial bag for CeeDee Lamb in the receiver market is going to go up, because obviously he's going to be at least at that dollar amount, if not more. I think probably more, because it's CeeDee Lamb. And then Micah Parsons is obviously a big thing. He's one of the best players in the league. And I think for me personally, I'm cautiously optimistic that they'll get things done. I think this is being overblown. I mean, social media is what it is. People hashtag Dallas Cowboys just to get some more likes and more interactions. So that's just my take on it. I'm not worried about it because it's voluntary. Now, if it becomes to the point where, okay, you're supposed to be there or you're going to get fined and they're not showing up, then that's a problem. Until then, let's wait and see how the chips fall. And from there, hopefully the Cowboys can get this these things hammered out, because I do feel like Micah Parsons and CeeDee Lamb are both very young players, and I feel like they're going to be a long-term future players, you know, for the Cowboys. So I think it'll get done. It's just not a matter of if, I feel like when.
Chris, you've always been not always, but like this off season, you've been the doom and gloom type of like,
yeah, there's
like,
nothing
you're doing happening. Everything wrong. So is this another thing that like the sky's falling?
I mean, the sky's not falling, but it's nothing. The sky's not falling, but it's nothing good. Like, it's not something to be happy about. I mean, like, you know, Brandon said, it's voluntary. It's not a big deal. And, you know, and I mean, there's situations where even if the contracts were fine, you know, maybe they would do their own thing. And that's not necessarily to say that they're out on the Cowboys or it's a huge deal. But I mean, it's just frustrating because, you know, CeeDee Lamb just had the best single statistical season in Cowboys history at the wide receiver position. I mean, he broke the record for most receptions and most receiving yards in a single season. And I mean, he also did that in 16 games as well. It wasn't even because he had the extra game. So, I mean, CeeDee Lamb deserves to get paid, and the Cowboys are realizing, and I mean, like, I hope they're realizing, because the longer they wait, the more expensive it's going to be. And, you know, CeeDee Lamb and Micah Parsons are easy ones to initially point out, but I mean, this is going to be the case for a lot of other players too, like Osa Odigizua. Like, he's a free agent after this upcoming season. And, you know, DeForest Buckner just got paid with the Colts, and, you know, a bunch of other, you know, defensive tackles have been paid this offseason. So, I mean, the longer the Cowboys wait, the more expensive these contracts are going to end up being. So it makes sense to just get them out the way now when you can.
Yeah, I think that's a really good point. And I actually, today I wrote an article for Blogging the Boys, which you can find on that site that we are not affiliated with, where I was talking about kind of the cornerback position and the future of the cornerback position. To be clear, cornerback, defense, not quarterback. I'm sure we'll debate the quarterback position at some point on this episode, but talking about, you know, Trayvon Diggs is obviously locked up for the time being, but you know, after this next year, then Deron Bland's going into the last year of his contract, and you know the way that his career's gone thus far, the year he's just now coming off of, like, that's gonna be a pretty big deal too. And I'm already exhausted thinking about the saga that they'll be on with the negotiations with Deron Bland. And just thinking back to like Byron Jones and how there was all this talk about, oh, well, you know, he doesn't get interceptions, and you're finding every reason to try and, you know, devalue him. And we've seen kind of similar things happen with just about every big ticket player on this roster as it comes up. So, you know, even for some of the optimists like me who generally believe in the approach that this front office takes, I think probably the biggest issue that I have with them is just how slow they are with these extensions. Because it's like, it's not a surprise. It's not like, you know, CeeDee Lamb comes in and says, hey, it's time for an extension. They're like, whoa, where did that come from?
Yeah.
And, you know, then on the other hand, there's the Eagles, who have always been one of the more proactive teams with extending their guys. And sometimes to their detriment, with the Carson Wentz deal and the way that played out. But they also, you know, cut their losses once they realized it was time. And then, you know, a couple of years later, they were in the Super Bowl. So, you know, it doesn't mean that set them back. And I do wish that, for as much as I appreciate the way that the Cowboys handle free agency, for how well they've been in their drafting process, it is frustrating to see how slow they are when it comes to keeping their own, because that's their whole thing. Is we like our guys, we're going to sign our own guys. Well, do it. Like,
yeah,
just go out and do it. Like, why are we, you know, sitting on our hands and waiting so long to make this happen? So I guess, Chris, I'm on your side in that the sky may not be falling, because they're probably still going to be able to, you know, long-term they're keeping CeeDee Lamb. I think long-term they're keeping Micah Parsons. But does anyone think, and I'll start you with you, Brandon, does anyone think that, like, because there's been all this talk about how you know, Dak Prescott, they make let him play on that final year. Mike McCarthy's only on 1 year. Mike Zimmer only signed a 1 year deal to come be the defensive coordinator. Does anyone think, honestly think that they're like holding everything on to say if they do want to hit a hard reset after this season that like CeeDee Lamb and Micah Parsons are slow playing it for that as well?
I wouldn't be surprised. I mean, their agents are probably in their ear saying, hey, let's see what's going to happen with Dak Prescott and his coaching staff. I mean, like you mentioned, all these like 1 year prove it kind of deals are on the table right now. And CeeDee Lamb and Micah Parsons, they're going to command a lot of money, whether it's in Dallas or with some other team, hopefully not, you know, like Philadelphia Eagles or, you know, something of that nature. But yeah, I think that's exactly what it is. I think they're going to still play it. Plus, I think they're also going to slow play it because, like you mentioned, like we've discussed, there's other players at their particular positions that are getting that bag, and they want to see what the market's looking like for guys that are maybe at or maybe even beneath their level. And I think that's going to be something that, you know, to keep an eye on. I'm not, and again, I know you guys are maybe not as optimistic as I am. I do feel like the team is on the right trajectory. I mean, 12-5 the last few years. Whatever they're doing, it's working. And yes, I have said on multiple episodes over the years on podcasts and different platforms and whatnot that, you know, I want to see NFC Championship and Super Bowls. I still do want to see those, but at 12-5 with the formula that they have, I don't know if they're going to exactly blow it up, but we could see that with the draft because the Cowboys, you know, the rumor mill is really going hard during what I call smokescreen season with the draft coming up. Will they draft a quarterback, and when will they draft a quarterback? And last time, you know, they don't have a fourth round pick this year, obviously with the Trey Lance situation. But last time they took a day three pick at the quarterback position, look at this guy, Dak Prescott. Look how that has played out. I'll give you one name in particular that I know Chris Holland is going to be very excited about. You know, I wouldn't be surprised if somebody falls like a Bo Nix or a Chris Michael Penix Jr. One of those guys falls. I'm not saying round one. I think the Cowboys are not going to draft a quarterback in round one. But if the value is too hard to pass up in round two, at the back end of round two, I wouldn't put it past the Cowboys to do that. I think they have to think long term, because if Dak is not here after 2024, there's still going to be over a $40 million cap hit, if I'm not mistaken, on the books for a player that may not be here. And what better way to offset that huge cap hit than getting a starting quarterback on a rookie deal? I think that would be one way to do it. I'm not saying that is the way, but that could be a possibility. But, you know, I guess we'll see. I know we've talked about the Trey Lance thing, so we'll park that for another day, and I'll let you guys your takes on this.
Yeah, for those keeping score at home, it only took us 17 minutes to bring up both Trey Lance and Michael Penix Jr., as well as a surprising Bo Nix cameo. So wheels are already coming off on this new episode. But to your point, Brandon, yes, we are in smokescreen season, full blow with the draft starting up next week, next Thursday with the first round. And that's really what we want to talk about the most right now is the draft. And I've asked each of us to prepare one bold prediction for the draft. And one thing that we absolutely want to see, that we are most wanting for out of this draft, whether that's a player, whether that's a trade, whether that's, you know, something, whatever this year's version of a scouting coordinator being able to draft his son, who's, you know, 2 feet tall, whatever it might be, you know, that we're not really, you know, keeping any strict rules here. But Chris, you go first. What is your bold prediction for this draft?
Yeah, my bold prediction is that the Cowboys don't take an offensive lineman in the first round, despite all the needs on there. And, you know, it seems like that's just been mocked so heavily, but I don't know, Jerry Jones, like maybe, you know, he's been tired of all the, you know, criticism, and he's just like, you know what, you all want splashy? Let's get splashy. Let's get flashy with it. So, you know, I mean, if a Brian Thomas Jr. out of LSU or an Adonai Mitchell from Texas or even an Xavier Worthy, you know, the guy who just broke the 40-yard dash record, I don't buy into that necessarily as a big reason to draft somebody. I mean, you saw that with John Ross. But I mean, with that said, I mean, if those big playmakers go down there, I mean, wide receiver is a sneaky need for the Cowboys as well. I mean, they did just let go of Michael Gallup. You know, Brandon Cooks has one more year left on his deal. He's getting older, and CeeDee Lamb needs a guy next to him. And I mean, with the way the wide receiver market is going, it kind of makes sense to get a rookie, you know, on a somewhat cheaper price tag. But also, too, I mean, it doesn't necessarily have to be wide receiver. I mean, like, the Cowboys do have a need at linebacker. I mean, what if they, you know, I mean, I mean, some people would consider it a reach, but if they got the linebacker out of Texas A&M, Edgerrin Cooper, I mean, that would be. I know that you hate that positional value, David. I know you don't like the linebacker in the first round, but I mean, if they really love him as a prospect and they think he has all pro potential, I mean, it fills a huge need. I mean, what if they really, really like Chop Robinson out of Penn State? You know, what if they, you know, see a guy, you know, in the interior defensive line and they go back to back on the defensive line? Or, I mean, I just wrote an article about how this is not a need in the first round, but let's say a Kool-Aid McKinstry or Nate Wiggins falls to them. I mean, there's a lot of other options that it doesn't have to be offensive line in the first round. Maybe they find an offensive lineman in, you know, that second or third or, you know, fourth or fifth that, you know, they really, really like. If that's the case, I'm going to feel really worried about Dak Prescott's protection this upcoming season. I already am worried about his protection. I'm also worried about who's going to be blocking for whichever running back, you know, is starting on week one. So, I mean, I think offensive line makes the most sense. But, I mean, when it comes to the drafts, there's been a lot of times where Jerry Jones and, you know, Stephen Jones and Will McClay don't draft based off what makes the most sense. So, I mean, I wouldn't put it past them to, you know, kind of surprise everyone and go flashy and maybe get, you know, a Mitchell, you know, at the wide receiver position or you know, reach somewhere else. So, I don't know. It's going to be very interesting. But, yeah, no, that's my bold prediction is it's not a Jackson Powers Johnson. It's not a, you know, it's not an offensive tackle situation. You know, it's not going to be a Tyler Guyton. It's going to be a big playmaker at the wide receiver position.
I think that's sad. I don't like that bold prediction, and I hope you're wrong. The last time that like there was this much consensus around where the Cowboys were going position wise was the 21 draft, when everyone was like, yeah, they're taking a corner, whether it's Patrick Surtain, whether it's JC Horn, we don't know which one it is. And then, you know, they both get wiped off the board. We all know what happened. They traded back. They ended up with Micah Parsons, you know, far and away the best player in that draft.
There was also a lot of talk about getting Ke'Lavon Chase on too, because they needed some edge rushing and they ended up with CeeDee Lamb. So sometimes it's better to see, like, my way of viewing it is like, if they can get the number one best linebacker in the class and he's going to end up being an absolute unit and he's going to be like a Fred Warner type of production, I would prefer that, even if it's, you know, it's not as pressing right. Need as opposed to getting a, you know, seventh or eighth best offensive lineman just because you think that, you know, that's a
Chris,
bigger need.
I got to stop you there, bud.
Position.
Here's the thing. I don't totally disagree with that take. I would say this. If I'm the Cowboys and you're like, okay, Edgerrin Cooper's our guy, why not slide back? I think he's going to be a top 40 player.
Hey, because slide back. I mean, like, that's a risky game. You may lose him. Somebody else may.
Yeah, but you know what? Here's the thing. I mean, people are you know, are concerned about the lack of draft capital. If you slide back even a few slots, you can grab some mid-round picks to, you know, for more ammo later. So, and here's the thing. If you slide back to, say, like, you know, 31, you're still in the first round. You still have that five-year, you know, that option on the contract. And you're also getting draft capital. And you might potentially get the best linebacker in the draft. I know it's a game of chicken, so to speak. But, you know, sometimes, you know what? I think Edgerrin Cooper, I think he's a fringe first-round pick, early second-round pick. I feel like he would be had at the end of the first round, and the Cowboys could slide back, accumulate picks, and still get him. I'm not totally off. I'm not totally against that. I don't know if they're gonna. I don't think they're gonna do that, to be honest with you. I feel like they'll attack the linebacker position maybe a little bit later in the draft.
They end up getting a wide receiver in the first round, then them going Cooper. And, you know, like, that's not necessarily say that I think that they should, but I mean, it kind of, you know, the same logic kind of applies. Like, why settle for, you know, an offensive lineman who's not, you know, top tier? And, I mean, I know that the Cowboys are going to miss out on those top three wide receivers, but this is such a deep class that a lot of these wide receivers who could end up falling wouldn't fall to them in other draft classes. Like, I think a Donnie Mitchell is a stud, and he's going to be really, really good at the next level. I mean, if he falls there, I would rather, you know, get an explosive playmaker like that than end up getting, you know, you know, an average or, you know, an above average offensive lineman just because you think he fits the position of need. Now, if the Cowboys end up going an offensive lineman, I'm going to trust them because they've hit on all their offensive line picks in the first round as of late. But I'm just saying, I don't put too much – I mean, the Cowboys have so many needs that it's going to be impossible to address all of them in the draft anyway. I mean, like, they don't have the picks to address them. So I'd rather them get the good players as opposed to just trying to fill needs and then miss out on bigger and better players. Because I think they've succeeded the most when they've gone best player available and not when they've just targeted need. Because when they targeted need, they went Mozzie Smith, and Mozzie Smith ended up aging very poorly as of right now. They ended up getting, you know, a loose Schoonmaker, which – wasn't very, you know, I mean, it didn't age well either because, I mean, it wasn't a huge need. I think a lot of people realized that tight end wasn't a huge
need. He loves Michigan, everybody.
Howman. But, you know, I mean, I'm just saying, like, I think they went very need heavy this past draft, and that was one of their worst classes in recent memory. I think they succeed when they go best player available.
Chris, so I'll buy the Cooper DeJean. I'll buy the Cooper DeJean, guys.
If we're not going offensive line and the Cowboys get on the clock, and Brock Bowers is there.
Yes. And a heartbeat. Yes.
Yeah, I am.
Man,
1,000,000%,
because Brock Bowers is not just the, you know, prototypical tight end. He's, you know, I believe he's one of those generational type tight end prospects.
He's a weapon.
Yeah.
Like Sam LaPorta.
Hey, I wasn't that big on Sam LaPorta, but I mean, I definitely think Brock Bowers is a much more intriguing prospect than, you know, Sam LaPorta was coming into the draft. I think Brock Bowers is right up there with a Kyle Pitts in terms of, you know, just the hype coming into
it. That worked out well.
And okay, it didn't work out well, but I mean, a lot can be said about that, you know, sure. Scheme fit. I think we should revisit the Kyle Pitts conversation after this season with Kirk Cousins, and let's see how well he plays this year.
I hope he does well. I'm a big fan of Kyle Pitts, too. I'm not going to argue that. Really quick, though, I want to make this quick point on Cooper or Cooper DeJean. If the Cowboys did the Cooper DeJean thing, and you know, he's there at 24 and the Cowboys pick him, I'm not upset about it because we've already talked about in the beginning of the episode that Deron Bland's going to be due for a big payday. So that could be you know, thinking, you know, maybe the Cowboys know they can't keep everybody, which in reality they can't. So maybe he is the guy they you know, since Trayvon Diggs got his bag, maybe they don't keep Deron Bland, and they're like, you know what? Why don't we get a guy on a rookie deal, and as talented as Cooper DeJean is, and you know, when and have him ready to roll. So when, you know, say Deron Bland's gone after his rookie deal, then you know Cooper DeJean can be on the opposite side of Trayvon Diggs and all as well.
Yeah, I think at this point we've all gotten so committed to the idea that the Cowboys are going offensive line first round, and now we're just kind of debating, is it going to be left tackle or is it going to be center? That if they don't go offensive line, no matter what, it's going to be a shock, which kind of leads me into what my bold prediction is, which is that the Cowboys, when they pick 24th overall, they're going to take someone that like universally is agreed is a total reach of a pick.
Yeah.
But after a year, like it'll we'll have worked itself out,
Smith,
and
yeah,
people will be happy with it, just like Tyler Smith. Yeah. A total reach at 24, that works out. And by this I mean not necessarily like just, you know, if they were to go like Edger and Cooper, although people such as myself would say that's a reach just because of positional value, but someone that's just like not even on the radar. One name that I've seen connected to the Cowboys a little bit more recently is BYU tackle Kingsley Suamataia.
About that Yale tackle, that would be a shock.
Yale tackle,
yeah.
I'm not even gonna attempt to pronounce his name.
Kieran Amagaji.
There you go. Only the best information here at the Writer's Block. But someone like that, where kind of like Tyler Smith, because if you remember, like the morning of the draft, we all kind of woke up and I forget who it was that actually like
put someone it out tweeted there. It. Saying, yeah, someone put it out there, and we all were like, "Please, no!"
Yeah, it was like, "Oh, the Cowboys could actually take Tyler Smith tonight," and we were all just like, "No, why?
No, absolutely,
why not. Would they do that?" And we were all just like, "Nah, this guy has no idea." And then like it slowly started to grow from there, and then they get on the clock also at pick 24, and they go Tyler Smith, and we were all just like, "Oh my God, this is the worst draft pick that, you know, in ever." And you know, a few games in, and we're like, this guy's on to something, he's yeah, pretty good. And then a year later he's an all pro, and now we're saying he's too good at left guard to move back to left tackle, which is what you drafted him long term to play anyway. So I think You know, the Cowboys have also done this quite a few times where they've drafted somebody and, you know, nobody liked the pick. Travis Frederick was one where in that year they traded back and they ended up taking him. And
I feel like I a lot of people didn't like the Zach Martin pick. I know that like really like smart. Yeah.
No, I mean,
definitely a lot of smart people liked it. Unlike me, like I was, you know, like I was on the, but to be fair, I was like, well, I want to say like 14 at the time. So I was all about the Johnny Manziel.
You weren't grown yet.
Yeah, I wasn't grown yet. I just saw the college highlights and I was like, yo, Johnny Manziel in Texas, let's do it. And yeah, so I was
completely unrelated note. You want Michael Penix Jr. this year.
Here's the thing. I actually, if we're really talking about Michael Penix Jr., it doesn't make sense, especially picking him in the top two rounds because of his age. I mean, he is 25. At that point, I would literally rather just, if they're going to go a quarterback and move on from Dak, just trade the farm and move up and get Shedeur Sanders next year. You know, bring that Sanders hype, bring that Dallas, you know, hype. And, you know, I'm for it because he's a baller and he's younger. So if they go that route, but that's so far in advance, hopefully they win a Super Bowl with Dak Prescott and, you know, they extend him and everything's good. But, I mean, you know, if things don't work out that way, then, you know, we're going to have some hard discussions next year.
Well, we strayed a bit from the Cowboys taking a reach, and now we're in the world where Shedeur Sanders is the QB, and I assume that means Deion Sanders is the head coach.
If he wants to, you know, coach,
we don't need to spend time on that.
Back on that rabbit hole, guys.
Yeah. So that's my bold prediction: is they'll take someone, we're all going to hate it, and then a year after that, we're going to say that was actually a smart pick. We need to give this front office some credit, only to then go into this process again for the draft and say, Stephen Jones has no idea what he's doing, which maybe he doesn't. Who knows? But Brandon, what is your bold prediction?
Well, I mean, we've been hammering on this O-line or no O-line situation. And my bold prediction is the Cowboys will not only go offensive line in round one, but also in round two. So that is my bold prediction. Whether it happens is a totally different topic for another day, but I can see the Cowboys potentially filling two needs. I mean, the Cowboys lost Tyler Biadasz. They lost Tyron Smith, who has been here forever, it seems like. It feels like, because, I mean, he was a young man, and now he's a grown adult, essentially, at this point. He's been in the league so long, and he's been a Cowboy so long. So I think, you know, I think double dipping, as you put on the graphic here, I think they could do that. And again, it's Jackson Powers Johnson. I mean, that would be the pick for me at 24. If he's there, I want him on the Cowboys. I think he's the guy that's going to solidify the center position for the Cowboys long term. He's a tremendously talented player. Now, y'all know how I feel about TJ Bass. That's, you know, he's one of my guys. I'm a big supporter. I've been a big supporter before anybody else really, you know, gave him his flowers, so to speak, when he was at Oregon. But, you know, I will say this. I think and this is why I pronounced Kieran Amagaji's name correctly, is because I've been doing a lot of film work and I've been practicing how to say his name because I want to make sure I got it correct for when I was going to talk about it with you guys on the show this week. So I think Jackson Powers Johnson, round one, and then Kieran Amagaji is a round two pick. And I think he's going to be right there at the Cowboys, second round pick. He's getting mocked as high, you know, mocked as high as about the late 50s is what I've been seeing. And, you know, he'd be as low as a third round pick. So it's, you know, there's a little bit of movement there. I mean, he is, he is playing at a smaller school at the FCS level of the Ivy League in Yale, but he has a lot of great tape and a lot of great potential. He's got great size. And here's the thing that people aren't talking about. And, you know, just watching the film as much as I have, he can play both guard and tackle. So that's the other part of it too. The Cowboys, regardless if they think he's a tackle or a guard, you know, it wouldn't matter because they already got Jackson Powers Johnson as a center. And it's just a debate of, okay, do we want to put Tyler Smith and keep him at guard or put Tyler Smith at tackle? And then, you know, where are we going with Amagaji? You know, he could play guard or tackle, which he has played it, and he played at a pretty good level at the FCS level. And he has that positional flexibility. So there's a, you know, that can give you plenty of options if the coaching staff feels like one player, you know, the best alignment, so to speak, and he can be on the line. You know, he can be a guard right away. I think he'd be fine at guard. For me, taking Amagaji, you are taking a little bit of a risk because he does have the injury history. And then he also put at a smaller school. So I think it can be a little risky. I don't think he's going to be there at round three in the, you know, for the Cowboys. So I would take a swing at a really high, I think a high ceiling guy with a low floor like Amagaji. It's either going to be a home run or it's going to be a strikeout. And at this point, I'm okay with taking a swing in the second round on a guy who could be, potentially a Pro Bowl kind of guy in a few years.
Yeah, I think that's well said. And I did actually, I tried to fact check you, Brandon, on the pronunciation of the name. Pulled up, for those who are familiar, Dane Brugler's The Beast, his whole compilation of all the different players in the draft that he's ranked, which is available through a subscription to The Athletic. The Beast alone is worth the subscription price for The Athletic. We do not have a sponsorship. That's just genuinely how I feel. And of course, for each player, he puts out like a pronunciation guide for the players. And Brandon, credit to you. You got the last name completely correct. You did get the first name slightly wrong. It's the emphasis is on the second syllable. So his first name is Karan.
Oh. God.
So the more you know, and knowing is half the battle. But I think I like the approach of double dipping in those first two rounds with offensive line. Chris is shaking his head for those not right. watching him on the YouTube channel. He's shaking his hand. He's giving the thumbs down. He's trashing his room now. He's throwing things.
Not a fan.
But I mean, I think it makes sense. Like you've got two holes on the offensive line, whether it's left tackle or left guard, and then of course center. You know, not that I'm completely dead set against letting TJ Bass compete for that starting left guard spot. I do think he looked more comfortable on the right guard side. I like him better as just a depth piece. Same with Brock Hoffman. I like him as a depth piece. I don't know how confident I feel with him being the starter, or maybe necessarily not just being the starter, but being the plan as the starter. I'm totally fine if Brock Hoffman gets into training camp and just wows us and like earns the starting job. I'm fine with that. But I don't love planning on him being the starter after, you know, so little time, you know, playing in the NFL. Same with TJ Bass. I think it makes sense to double dip at least at some point during the draft. If you're taking two guys at some point, maybe it doesn't have to be first and second round and see how the draft board falls. But there's certainly some guys out there that, could fill in at, so definitely at the guard spot, some of the center spot. Tanner Bordellini out of Wisconsin is a name that I know a lot of Cowboys fans have looked and seen. He's a center that plays at Wisconsin. Like, you know, he has to be the guy. Chris was joking earlier, the Dune 2 meme, which I know Brandon doesn't – that went way over his head.
As written.
Your idea.
Lisan Al-Gaid, Tanner Bordellini. Chris, you had a visceral reaction when I said this was a good idea. Tell us why.
It's gross. I mean,
he takes the big uglies, man. Come on.
No, okay. Here's my thing. Like, drafting an offensive lineman is going to be important for this team. I get it, but drafting an offensive lineman in the first round is like getting socks for Christmas. You know, you're so excited, and you get this, you know, pair of socks that you, I mean, like, here's the thing. Your socks are more important than that PlayStation game that you really want, right? But at the end of the day, like, it's, you know, like, it's kind of boring. Here's a good, you know, like, here's honestly a good analogy. My birthday is on December 27th, so I'm really close. I'm really close to Christmas, right? So I often get to open these gifts, like, really close together. Double dipping would be me getting socks for Christmas and then 2 days later getting socks for my birthday again. Like, I don't need two pairs of socks. Like, I'm good with one, but you know, on Christmas, you know, bore me with the socks. And then on my birthday, you know, that's when I want to splurge. And there's just so many talented guys who's going to fall in the second round that like the Cowboys, they would be bound to end up passing on a really, really good playmaker. Because this wide receiver class is super deep. I mean, here's the thing. If they don't go wide receiver in the first round, Keon Coleman could be there in the second round. There's a lot of, you know, I think intriguing, you know, prospects at that position. But, like, not just that. Like, I think that, you know, I think that it's very likely that Jonathan Brooks could be available. And, like, at the end of the day, you're going to need some kind of a running back in that backfield. Like
Trey Benson, round three.
Hey, I mean, awesome. Hey, listen, I think that's great value if he falls round three, but then you're also playing, you know, another game of, you know, oh, like, you know, like hopefully he falls there. Like it's just, you know, I mean, it's just risky business. And I think that you can get that second offensive lineman, you know, on day three and kind of, you know, I guess like kind of figure things out as opposed to just going offensive line, and then, you know, Dak Prescott is throwing to Jalen Tolbert at the wide receiver three position. We have Rico Dowdle running in the backfield and Deuce Vaughn, you know, I mean, like he's barely able to see over the offensive line. And I mean, at the end of the day, you got to surround Dak with some weapons. I mean, as of right now, this is one of the, I think, worst supporting cast in terms of weapons. I understand that he had worse, but, you know, I mean, like over the past couple years, I mean, it's a huge drop off as of right now. And I think the Cowboys need to be aggressive in at least getting him a running back, at least getting him a wide receiver, doing something. I mean, you know, like having time is great, but if those wide receivers can't get open down the field, you know, if the running back doesn't know how to hit the holes correctly, then, you know, I mean, like those offensive linemen aren't doing, you know, that much for you. So I don't know. I think that I'm good on getting socks twice. I'll take my one pair and I'll call it a day.
Chris, I think that is a very good analogy, but not for your purposes, for my purposes to offer a rebuttal, because like socks, you need five offensive linemen, right?
Yeah.
Like, I mean, and ideally you want a little bit more than that so that you know, you want some depth, and unless you're going to go barefoot on the weekends. But
I don't need to spend that much on socks. Like, just give me the like really cheap ones, you know, I don't need
no
fancy socks.
You want to have your socks.
You go cheap on socks, your quarterback's going to be, sock.
So I'm not saying go cheap, but like to do it first and second, like I'm already spending a lot, you know, I'm already
when you don't
Nike have socks. Like,
if you're down to two pairs of socks and you're just re-wearing those socks like every day, we're definitely going too much into this analogy, but maybe you're too young and I'm going to show my age. Cause like when I get socks for any sort of gift, usually I'm like, oh, heck yeah, I needed some socks. Now I don't have
absolutely to socks.
You know, it's not the thing you're going to put on the top of your wish list, but when you need socks, like it's nice to have socks. It's
I understand, the same thing that, I understand it's important, but I don't think the Cowboys are that desperate for socks to where they need to spend their first few round draft picks on socks. I think that they have other needs. I mean, listen, hey, listen, they need socks, but they also need a pair of underwear at that, you know, wide receiver position. And, you know, at some point you got to balance it out and you got to get different, you know, I mean,
Chris,
you
have to get different receivers underwear.
I don't know. I didn't know what else to say. Shoes. Okay. Shoes. Chris. Shoes would have made more sense because, you know, like they're running, but I don't know. I was trying to think of another, you know, I was trying to think of another important, like kind of, you know, thing. That
Chris, you could put boxers in the same analogy as socks because it's always a clutch gift to get those every year on Christmas. I'm just saying.
I know, but they don't need to do it twice. Not that early. Not that early.
Well, anyway.
Take your second offensive lineman on day three, call it a day, and, you know, figure it out. And, you know, again, if the Cowboys were a little more aggressive in bringing in a free agent, then we wouldn't be this needy for socks. And, you know, they would already have some socks. But, you know, at the end of the day, they're just letting, you know, Tyron Smith go on an incentive-heavy contract, and they're not bringing in, you know, any replacements. So I don't know.
Give me the best O-line in the league. Then we can do the rest afterwards. That's fine.
Yeah. Maybe, to continue the metaphor before we move on to the things that we want in this draft, one last thing. To that point, I guess that makes Chuma Edoga that sock that, like, you lost in the dryer, and then one day you find it, and you're just like, oh, there was that thing.
Yeah.
I haven't really needed it since then, but it's good to know that it's there. Enough about socks, though, because that, oh, wow, that was a lot of socks.
Didn't have
talk.
To go that far. You guys took it that far. I just made the analogy.
Super.
Chris.
It was a good analogy.
Thank you.
Chris, without using the word sock once, tell us the one thing that you want most in this draft.
I want the Cowboys to prioritize the running back position, and I know that you don't necessarily think that they need to, David, because I know your philosophy. But at the end of the day, I mean, Dak needs a run game. Like, I, and it's not just Dak. I think really any NFL quarterback needs a run game. It's a compliment. I mean, you know, I mean, prioritize it. And like, I don't think that there's a prospect that jumps off the table so much to where it makes sense picking him at 24. But I mean, it's got to be in the first three rounds. You can't wait past round three and not take a running back. Because, I mean, Trey Benson could be available round three. Jonathan Brooks, round two. I'm cool with either of them. You know, and if you are a believer in those big, you know, power backs, then like a Braylon Allen, you know, I mean, like him in the third round. I mean, if you want to go, you know, with a Jalen Wright, I mean, you know, like even if you want to, I guess, go kind of small again and go Blake Corum, I mean, like, that's not the way I really want to go. But like, just prioritize it, because Rico Dowdle was a really good compliment back. And, you know, like he was, you know, I mean, like he brought good power and, you know, he really ran, like he was fighting for every single yard. But I mean, I do not feel comfortable if the Cowboys are walking in week one and Rico Dowdle and Deuce Vaughn and Malik Davis is their three running backs. Like they need to prioritize it a little more than that. And that's why I don't really want to double dip, because I just think that at the end of the day, there's going to be a good running back on the table, you know, at pick 56. And I think that, you know, I think that there could be a good wide receiver there as well. So I think that at the end of the day, it makes perfect sense. I think the ideal draft is offensive line, wide receiver, running back, wide receiver, running back. That's how I think the ideal draft goes. And then you get those good defensive depth pieces, you know, throughout the rest of the rounds. But that's how I think the philosophy of success should be for the Cowboys draft plan. But yeah, I think you got to go running back within those first three rounds. I think it's super important that they have, you know, that a little short up, because I hate the way that they treated, you know, the whole free agency and the fact that we could be paying, you know, Ezekiel Elliott, you know, twice the money to come back. Like, no, I don't want that. Bring in a fresh face, bring in fresh legs, bring in a fresh contract. That's not going to be, you know, it's not going to crush, you know, the bank, and just, you know, prioritize it in the first three rounds, and I'll be a happy guy no matter what they do in the first or the third round or the second round. Just get one in one of those rounds.
Chris, you know what's funny? We didn't copy off each other, but that's pretty much what I put down here for things I want to see. The way I looked at it is by the end of day two, and you mentioned it, by the end of day two, the Cowboys need to have a running back on the roster that they drafted. I completely agree with you. Trey Benson is my – I guess he's my pet cat for this year. I think he – I would say him and Braylon Allen. Those are my two guys that I really like. They're both, obviously Braylon Allen's the big back. He's got more of the Derrick Henry traits about his game. But Benson's not a small guy either. He's, you know, he's closer to 220 than he is 210. Runs a 4.3. Like, Trey Benson, to me, he's my option one. If he's there in round three, which I would gamble. You know, I hate that. You know, I hate to use that analogy, but I'd like to gamble on Trey Benson in round three. I like that. What Chris said, because
it's not great value, but I mean, if you feel like you can lock him down, like reach and take him in the second. I don't even care.
Because here's my thing though. My point is, I think if Trey Benson is gone by the Cowboys pick around three, I have no problem of the Cowboys taking Braylon Allen around.
What if Braylon Allen's gone too? What if there's like a run on running backs in the third round?
I don't buy it. I feel like there's going to be more day three value at running back for, you know, I think the Cowboys, if they want to get one of the better, like the better backs that can come in and play, you know, I wouldn't say maybe all three downs, but they're going to get a good amount of the committee shares, you know, as they call it in the fantasy world, the running back by committee shares. I think you can get somebody at the end of round three. And you mentioned like a Blake Corum, like he's also a good player. I mean, he's not, you know, his size might be a little concerning to some people, but if the Cowboys took Blake Corum, I'm not going to be upset about it, because the kid's a winner. The kid knows how to run hard. He's really good in the goal line for a guy his size. So I wouldn't be opposed to it. But yeah, those are three names right there. I feel like if one of those three, which I would be very surprised if zero out of three, if we get an offer in round three that one of them is not there, then you can say, yep, I told you so. But I don't see it happening. I feel like one of those three is at least going to be there in round three. And I would stick to, you know, maybe going offensive line again in round two, which I know is not the sexy play. Or they may have to address, maybe Adrian Cooper does this crazy slip or Peyton Wilson on North Carolina State. Like maybe he falls. You know, maybe address linebacker in the second round. So for me, I would wait till round three, no earlier than round three for running back. But if the Cowboys take Jonathan Brooks in round two, I'm not going to be upset about it. I just would have liked to see them wait till at least round three to make it happen.
You know, you both kind of said the same thing. Brandon, I like that you qualify by saying no earlier than the round three. That's kind of how I feel about the running back spot. I'd I wouldn't be upset if it's Jonathan Brooks in the second round, but I also would not be happy, which is kind of how I felt with a few of their draft picks last year. As much as I've defended Luke Schoonmaker, because the man's done nothing wrong, we need to cut him some slack. I didn't love the pick in the second round. I also didn't love the Demarvion Overshown pick. And, you know, through training camp, it looked like I was dead wrong. Well, you know, hopefully we get to see him actually play this year. And I am excited to see him.
Favorite pick in the whole draft when it happened.
What's that?
That was my favorite pick in the draft at the time. I mean, like, other than Jalen Brooks in the seventh round. But, I mean, bias aside, I love the Overshown pick.
Yeah. I think that's, well, and you and yeah. I.
You put weight on, too, guys. You put it weight on, so he's going to be bigger.
Chris, we just think differently, and that's okay. It would be a boring show if we completely agreed on everything. For example, I think if you don't have good offensive linemen, your running back's not going to be able to perform no matter who it is, which is why I think double dip offensive line.
I agree. Because, at the end of the day, it would be good to get a good lineman and a good running back as opposed to two good offensive linemen and no good running back.
To like, use an analogy that I'm coming up with just on the fly is like, if you don't have socks, then you can't be putting on your shoes.
That's not true. Sometimes I'm too lazy and I just put shoes on.
You're basically just wearing Crocs, and nobody likes Crocs.
There's no way that you've never been, you know, just lazy one day and you just put on your shoes without your socks because you had to go get something real quick. It can happen.
Absolutely not. That's what sandals
are. Maybe that's just me.
It's definitely you, Chris, because I haven't done that either. I'm with Hammond on that one. And I guess you guys are like, I think you're polar opposites on a lot of takes. I guess I'm somewhere kind of in the middle because I agree with Hellman on some things and I agree with Chris. This is perfect because you guys are polar opposites and I'm kind of like, I don't know, in the center, I guess, which is kind of that's what makes this fun.
And for the YouTube audience, it works out extra because Chris and I are like right up against each other, and Brandon, your video feed is right in the middle between us. So maybe we planned it that way. That's what I'll go with. But Before we wrap up and everything, I'm going to get to the thing that I want most, which is different than talking about the running back and that filthy position. The thing that I want the most is to trade down for the Cowboys, whether it's the first round, whether it's later on in the draft, trading down, picking up more assets, whether that's draft capital or doing what they did a year ago and trading some of those later picks for veteran players that are known commodities that you can plug in and play. My ideal first round scenario is that the Cowboys trade down a few spots, closer to the end of the first round and take, Jordan Morgan, the left tackle out of Arizona. I've talked about him a few times before. As an Arizona State alum, it pains me dearly to say a good thing about that man, but he is going to be a very good player in the NFL. He plays very similar in play style to Tyler Smith. I think keeping Tyler Smith at left guard, putting Jordan Morgan at left tackle, you're going to have a really darn good left side of that offensive line. And then, of course, double dipping for a center in the second round, just for Chris to make him happy. But it really, honestly, it doesn't matter too much to me how they trade down, where they trade down, what they do once they trade down. The fact of the matter is you got a lot of holes to fill in this draft because you have been so – indecisive and had so much inaction in free agency. You can't do it with all the picks you have. You need more picks if that's what you're going to do. And, the best way to get more picks is to trade down and pick up some more assets. And the Cowboys have shown that, they're very thorough. They're very diligent in their draft process. They should be trusting their process and knowing that there's some other guys later in the rounds of this draft that they can get. Unless there's a guy that's available at 24 that, you just can't believe that he's still available. Like if it's, Troy Fatanu out of Washington, who we've talked about a few times, or, one of those guys that has no business being there, just like CeeDee Lamb, obviously you take that. But I think if it falls the way most of us think it's going to fall, I like the idea of trading down. I like the idea of acquiring more draft capital because they're going to need it if this is their plan to fill all the holes on this roster. And that segues nicely into our wrap up because next week on the show, what we're going to be doing as our last episode before the draft actually happens is we'll be doing one last group mock draft. We had done this a few weeks ago. I think we we did a pretty good job, guys. I liked the guys that we picked. But now that we've all gone around and said what we want the most and what we, you know, maybe don't want, maybe things have changed and maybe the draft board shakes out a little bit more. So we'll be back next week, coming out Tuesday morning again with that mock draft and having, you know, one last shot at filling all of these Cowboys roster holes before the draft actually gets kicked off. So be sure to check us out next week. Be sure to check us out wherever you get your podcasts, and we're there. Follow us on Twitter. Our podcast account is at TWB Podcast 214. I'm on there at _DH44_. You can follow Chris on Twitter at Chris Hauling_. And Brandon Clements at, of course, Icebreaker21. So until next week, you know, we'll have you covered for more content. But just remember, in the meantime, go Cowboys.